Shager, Frank Saravalli and I were discussing the, you know, the Oilers still looking for a goaltender. He brought up Korpisalo, but the trade request, I was like, and then he brought it right at the end of the pod. I didn't really have time to respond. Then I dug into it afterwards and I'm like, I actually think trading for Korpisalo straight across, other than saving 1.7 million cap space, I'm not sure he's a better goaltender than Mikko Koskinen based on the last four seasons.
Well, what's he suggesting the trade would be?
The ask was Korpisalo, and the Oilers give up Koskinen, Samarukov, and a first.
Yeah. So I'm led to believe that there really hasn't been significant discussion between the Oilers and Columbus on this. The trade makes no sense.
Yeah.
If you're gonna move out prospects in a pick, you should probably bring in a better goalie, which, based on the numbers, he's not necessarily. So, I don't think there's any fire or whatever smoke that there may be there. I don't think that's my sense is that's not a thing in the moment.
The goaltender they might look at, only because we know he's available and wants out, is Georgiev in New York. Now, mm-hmm. You know, he's 25. His numbers haven't, you know, jumped off the page either. They've actually progressively gotten worse the last few seasons, down, you know, from 920 to 916 to 914 to 910. So, you know, it's not like he's fallen off a cliff, but it's not like it's progressing upwards. He's 25. His cap hit is 2.5, so it's about, you know, $2 million difference. So obviously you'd have to add something as well to that. I think at this point, if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, based on what the options are, I'm standing pat with Mikko Koskinen, and I'm going to camp and having Koskinen, and hey, maybe Konovalov shocks the world. You know, Alex Stalock, if he can play well, you put Koskinen in the minors. Well, you basically save $300,000 in cap space. It doesn't really change anything for your cap that way. I don't see a reason to be desperate now just to rid themselves of Koskinen. I don't think it's worth it.
No. And the thing is like, the cost for moving the kind of money that Koskinen makes, or even the difference, you know, on a $2 million guy, so you're talking a $2.5 million difference. Like, it's significant to move that kind of cap space around. And you get up into your high picks or your good prospects to start thinking about moving significant cap space around. And I agree. My sense on it for a few days now has been, sorry, motorbike going by. My sense on it for a few days now has been that it was going to be an immovable object unless they wanted to get stupid about it. And I don't think they're going to get stupid about it. Like, Ken Holland has shown at the trade deadline how much he values his high picks. Like, he hasn't wanted to move a first round pick to make his team heading to the playoffs better. Never mind trying to save a couple million bucks on a goalie when a season hasn't even started yet. I just don't see it being the type of deal that Ken Holland is in the headspace to make, given where he's at with the value of his picks and such. So I don't think we're going to see a shift in goaltending unless it's a bigger deal. And I think it, you know, is complex. And I just don't think that they ship high picks out to save some money on Koskinen. He's only got 1 year left.
Yeah, I agree.
If he had 2 or 3 years left, it would be different. It would be it'd be more expensive and more difficult, but got 1 year left. You just got to live with it. And you be real up front. I mean, if Stalock outplays him, let Stalock outplay him. You put your best two goalies in Edmonton this year. And whoever else has to be wherever they need to be, who cares?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. Now, on defense, they still need another left defenseman. I know they've been in touch with Ryan Murray's camp. There's five teams that have made offers to Ryan Murray. And I think the Oilers, it'll be hard-pressed for them to get him, only because they just don't have – I don't think they have the cap space that Murray, some other teams might be able to offer him. Now, the difference is some of those other teams, you know, aren't going to be as competitive as Edmonton, so maybe he takes less to be on a more competitive team. But, you know, right now I would say it's probably a long shot to land Murray.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there'll be a, you know, you'll have teams that won't even be in the mix that want a veteran like him. He'll probably find $3 million up there if he wants to.
Oh, Buffalo or Arizona, for sure.
But I think there's probably a balance there to strike, right, for a guy like that. I mean, there might be some teams that are concerned about the injury history. My understanding is that he's actually – his medicals are good and he's good to go. So I think, yeah, I think there'll be a couple million bucks on the table for him in a place where he's got a nice balance between, you know, getting the money and getting an opportunity to win. And I don't know if the Oilers can afford to put a couple million bucks on the table for him. So if it doesn't start with a two, I don't know that you're getting Ryan Murray. And I don't know that the Oilers can have that D spot start with a two. Like, the other thing about that spot, Greg, like, how much do you think Dave Tippett's going to want to play Chris Russell this year? Because I think he's going to want to play him a fair amount, don't you?
Well, he might want to. I just don't think he's going to be able to. I think Chris Russell's a guy I think you kind of look at Chris Russell at the start of the year and pencil him in as a 50-game player. And if he shocks you and plays more, awesome. That's kind of how I see it.
Okay, so 50 games. Mm-hmm. So there's 82 in a season.
Yep.
And neither of the other left-shot defensemen are coming out. So is Ken Holland out there looking for a guy that's going to play 30 games this year? Because nobody's coming out on the right, and no one's coming out in either of the top two spots on the left. Let's assume there's no injuries. So if you're Ryan Murray or if you're anybody else, that's the question I'd be asking. Well, what are your intentions with Chris Russell?
Oh, yeah. No, that's
like,
fair.
Am I behind the guy? Am I ahead of the guy? Or is the coach going to be okay with him not playing? Because if I'm Ryan Murray, I'm absolutely going somewhere where I'm an every night guy. Right? Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to compete for it, but it's fair to ask the question, okay, what are your intentions with that guy? You know there's a strong loyalty there. Tippett likes the way Russell plays, likes to go to Russell, and Russell's earned a lot of that. So whoever this defenseman is that they're going to bring in should be asking that question. What's your depth chart on the left side look like? Where do you see me compared to Chris Russell? Like you just said, they want him to be a 50-game guy. Okay. Well,
but that doesn't mean he's their first choice, Shager, because we know it, somebody's getting injured. Hate to say it, but you know, for the most part, there always seems to be someone. Now, Chris Russell might be that one guy, but I think if they could find a player they think's an upgrade over Chris Russell, and they can sign him for the contract value, I don't think they'll hesitate and just say, "Well, Chris, you come in. You know what? You're gonna battle. We know you can be our seventh defenseman, and you can play both right or left side if we need to when injuries occur. I could eat because he's 1.25 mil now. Like, there's not.
But when everybody is healthy, are they going to be willing to do to Chris Russell what they did to Evan Bouchard last year? Are they going to be willing to do the same thing to Chris Russell that they did to Bouchard? I'm not so sure on that answer.
Hmm. Well, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, if everybody stays healthy, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to Bouchard last year.
Yeah.
And he sat and didn't play the entire year, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, he got in for like once Bear got hurt, then he got in. But you're right. Yeah. Other than that,
Right. So that's the question, right? So if I'm Ryan Murray or if I'm whoever it is that's thinking about coming in, look, and that's why I think it'll be a lower end guy than Ryan Murray. I think it'll be somebody that's like 850, 900, 1.2, something like that, who is like going to be happy to have an NHL job and will battle with Chris Russell. But I don't know if they're filling this spot with somebody that's high end enough that would have the absolute expectation of being an every night guy.
Well, here as we were talking, Shager, I did some quick numbers. So, back in 2019, the last year there was a full NHL regular season, right? I looked at the numbers. There was 174 defensemen who played 50 games. Okay. So that's not even six per team. That's like 5.5 per team that just played 50 games. Right. So you have a lot of guys that injuries are just going to be a big part of it. Right. So yeah. I think you sign a guy where you have depth because look at a few years ago, Adam Larson gets hurt on opening night and they had to play Ethan Bear up. And luckily Ethan Bear for that year played very well. I think good teams have eight defensemen in some cases that they feel, and it might be that the eighth is a young guy in the minors, but you feel like, hey, in a pinch, he can come up and play. So I wouldn't worry. I understand where Ryan Murray's coming from, but if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I don't care. I'm signing a guy, and if Chris Russell has to sit out for a month straight, boo-hoo. Because the other six guys are playing better. You can't worry about stuff like that. And, yeah, you want to keep guys in the mix and what have you. Maybe a guy gets banged up and he's not 100%. So, you know, he blocked a shot. So he'll sit out a game or two, right? Like Duncan Keith's 38 years of age. Now, I know he played 23 minutes a night, but, you know, maybe if they're all healthy and Duncan Keith is, you know, just blocked a shot on the instep of his foot and they're playing back to back, well, maybe he gets the rest for a night.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you use the word depth, right? Every team wants to have depth at blue line, right? Ryan Murray is not a depth defenseman at this stage in his career. And he's playing well enough to be an every night guy, and he'll get paid like an every night guy. So I don't believe they're going to attract a guy like Ryan Murray into a position where they're filling out their depth. You know, you don't spend $2 to $3 million on a guy just to add a seventh guy.
Yeah, well, they can't get him for three, right? I don't even know if they could afford him for two, to be honest.
Well, exactly. And that's, so that's why probably wouldn't end up being a fit in Edmonton.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I just know, like, right now, those are the guys they look at. Like, could they come into camp with Lagesson? I know they were pretty high on him last year. I'm not, after watching Lagesson play, maybe they had the realization that he's necessarily not what they thought he potentially could be. You know, we'll see. Hey, maybe he's better than me. Maybe I'm wrong on William Lagesson, but from what I saw last year, nothing really jumps out.
Would you rather them just revisit the Cuckoo?
Oh, 100%. I would take Cuckoo ahead all day long. I think in an ideal world, you know, they would like somebody I think they would have liked Kulikov because they want somebody who plays a little bit heavier of a game,
yep.
Right? So that's the possibility there. You know, another option would be Ben Hutton is somebody that they could look at as a depth signing. I think so. Yep. I look at Ben Hutton. I look possibly at Christian Juice. You mentioned Slater Cuckoo. I think those guys are there. Maybe even a Jordy Benn possibility. Yeah. And then here's my last one for you is, do you think Braden Goburn's got anything left?
Yeah, that's a good question. By the way, I feel like Jordy Benn's going to end up in the States. Let me think on Coburn. Like, I've always liked him. You know, he's a bigger guy. He's kind of one of those rangier guys. Does he have anything left? Yeah, I mean, if he wants to come in and battle Chris Russell for ice time on a third pairing, then sure, that type of guy, I think you're fine with, you know? So yeah, let's throw a maybe out there. But I thought for what they asked of him, I thought Cuckoo did an okay job last year. I think he's really well liked. I think he's a really good positive person in the room. And if you're not going to be an every night guy, that makes a big difference. So, yeah, then maybe they revisit that one a little bit.
Oh yeah, I could see him possibly being a you know, the annual August summer signing. One last one for you, Shager. Do you foresee any PTOs for the Oilers this season?
PTOs. You never hear about goalies coming in on PTOs, hey?
Well, there isn't any really, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, like, I wonder, would you bring a goalie in on a PTO? Like, I don't recall ever even hearing about that. I don't know. Maybe you don't because of there's only so much time in net to go around, right? And normally the guys you have are the guys you want to give your exhibition games to and such. So PTOs up front. I mean, if you were bringing in a PTO, it would probably be – it'd probably be a left winger, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, a left winger who's a bottom six left winger, possibly
bottom
somebody
six
who
left winger that can push Shore. If Holloway, you know, I think Holloway is going to come in and make a case for himself. But you want to bring somebody in. Like, if Devin Shore gets injured, you want to make sure that doesn't automatically mean Dylan Holloway's on the team no matter what. Right now, if Devin Shore gets injured, you know, there's a bit of a gap there. Maybe Benson. But, yeah, so maybe they add a little more competition at that left spot just to shore themselves up a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be there are some guys, like, I wonder if, like, is Tyler Bozak, there's still lots of time left, but I'm kind of curious about a player like that. And if he doesn't have a contract, I would PTO Bozak in a heartbeat.
How about Dubnyk? There you go.
Oh, geez, no. I watched a lot of Sharks games last year, my friend. That's not. That's not. And to be honest, I don't think. Well, I guess if it's your only option, then Devin would do it. But I don't. I don't foresee a return for him to Edmonton.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it goes. Shager, have yourself an awesome weekend. Enjoy the long weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Okay, sounds good, pal. Have a great weekend.